Today is Friday, March 27th, 2020, Friday of the fourth week of Lent. At least I think it's Friday, March 27th, 2020. The days are all just starting to flow together again, and it's starting to get a little bit weird. I really did this morning, laying in bed, like, is this Saturday? Is this, what day is this? Because I actually have to do something tomorrow. And I'm probably breaking the law to do it, but I think I found a loophole. So I've got a couple that wants to get married in August, and hopefully by August we can still do weddings. So I have to meet with them to do some paperwork, because we're a little bit behind the eight ball on this kind of stuff. They're in Washington, and the wedding's going to happen in Washington, and I'm up here in Allegheny County. They can't come to me, but I work in a life-sustaining industry, or whatever in the heck the terminology is, so I can move about freely. So I'm going to drive down to Peters, and we're going to meet there, because technically we'll be in Washington County, so we should be okay. I don't know. Anyway, it's just crazy. I actually still don't mind this whole crazy situation. I miss saying mass with people. I miss kind of seeing people and being around them a little bit. I mean, I am an introvert, so this isn't that awful for me. I can still pray. I'm still celebrating mass. I have more time to start cleaning out this house and trying to organize some things. I'm catching up on reading that I've wanted to do for months. I'm kind of enjoying this. I have more time to do this kind of stuff, like record these things, and that was something that I really have wanted to do. I just haven't done it because I really didn't have the time. So this whole situation's been not awful, but I understand for some people it has been just the worst, and I'm sympathetic, but not really. Anyway, that had nothing to do with anything I wanted to talk about today. So, segue. Okay. Pop quiz. Where's your nearest crucifix? I don't know why I paused to listen to your answers. That would be impossible. But where is it? You know, for a lot of us, we wear one. And if you don't wear one, you've probably got one or more hanging around your house. My mom has, I think, one in every room of the house. At least it seemed like we did when we were kids. I'm not sure if that's still the case or not. I don't have mine on right now, but I'm in my office, so I'm looking at a pretty large one I've got hanging on the wall here. And that's certainly a very Catholic thing to do, to have crucifixes just all over the place. I think all due respect to our other Christian denominations, the cross is nice, but let's not forget who was on it. I think that's an important thing, too, and that's kind of the point, I think. You know, when you look at a crucifix and you see Jesus in agony on the cross, it reminds you of a whole lot of different things, right? Of the depth of love, of the depth of his sacrifice, of just, you know, all sorts of different, just how much we're loved and how much he was willing to endure for us, the price of our sins. But what I would like us to kind of reflect about today is when you look at the cross, when you look at the crucifix, it should also remind you of the cost of discipleship. Jesus was completely and perfectly obedient to the will of his Father. And for him to be able to do that, he had to pay a price. And that price ultimately was the crucifixion. He literally had to be nailed to a cross to put to death our sins and to, you know, win for us the price of eternal redemption. Like, there's a cost associated with doing the will of the Father. For most of us, the cost won't be that great, but there's still always a cost, and we pay that price at various points throughout our life. We see that reflected in the readings today, too. So, in the Gospel, and we get an abridged version of the Gospel today, but in the abridged version, what happens is that the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles is about to start, and Jesus makes the decision not to go up to Jerusalem, because at this point they're already starting to think about trying to kill him. But he changes his mind at some point because he realizes, like, no, I have to do the work of my Father. That's not optional. This is what I was sent for. And so he goes up to Jerusalem, and he starts teaching in the temple area. And some of the parts that we miss are the way that people start verbally abusing him, for lack of better terminology, right? They say these terrible things like, you're insane. You must be possessed by a demon. What makes you think you have the right to teach us this way? You've never studied under any of the great rabbis. You can barely read. Who do you think you are? And, of course, he comes into conflict with the actual Jewish leaders themselves because what he's teaching is allegedly dangerous because it's a huge departure from what they're teaching. And so he threatens the whole social order. And so they continue to plot to take his life. I mean, there's a heck of a cost that he has to pay just by going to Jerusalem for this feast. Nothing compared to the price he's going to pay eventually. But there's a price to him doing his father's will here. In the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, you hear about that price in a more generic way, about how the wicked are going to plot against the just person. Because they're going to find the just person to be obnoxious. Because the just person is the person that's doing the will of God and expects other people to be doing the same thing and is going to work for justice and is going to call out injustices when he or she sees them. And therefore is going to make it more difficult for the unjust person or the wicked person to continue to be wicked. It's easier to be wicked because there's no standard there. You just do whatever you want, whenever you want, in the manner in which you want, and you're only looking out for number one. It's the easy way, it's the cowardly way out to be wicked. And so the just person is going to wind up in conflict with them, and that's not good for the just person. They're going to gang up against you. They're going to try to put you to a shameful death, metaphorically or not, right? So, like, there's a cost to be paid for being just. But there's a reward that you can gain for being just. There's a reward that Christ gains for doing the will of his Father as perfectly as he does. And we have to keep that in mind, too. That we're working for something, or that we're promised something that we're not going to get in this world, but we're going to get it in the life to come. And when we get that reward, when we achieve the beatific vision, the thing that we were actually made for just being in the presence of God himself, it's not even going to compare to what we're dealing with now, or what we have in this world. It's so completely other, and so absolutely greater than anything we could possibly conceive of, it is literally impossible to put into words how good it's going to be. But sometimes it's hard to remember that, especially in the face of all these different, you know, trials and tribulations that we might be facing. Kind of like right now, you know, I think a lot of us are scared with this whole situation, some more than others. I think as this goes on, we're maybe becoming less scared, although with the death toll rising, maybe we won't be. I don't know. But like, we can't give in to fear. Fear is the root cause of so many sins, maybe all sin. We just have to be continually bold in paying the cost of discipleship, of staying in the boat of faith, of just keeping on with keeping on. There's something about endurance that is just intrinsically linked to holiness. There's something about perseverance that, although exhausting sometimes, is good. And I think that's what we're being called to. So we've never had to struggle with our faith as we are right now. And maybe struggle's not the right word, but we've never had to maybe work so hard at keeping our faith alive in our hearts right now, cut off as we are from the sacraments and from Mass, and in many places people are just entirely even cut off from being allowed into their churches. I heard from a priest friend in another diocese that their archbishop has ordered that their churches just be locked altogether, that people can't even stop in and make visits. At least we still have that opportunity here. It's a trying time. It's a difficult time. And it would be easier to just give up, to say that cost is too much. I can't pay that anymore. I'm going to go do something else. That's not thinking. That's not thinking right. It's really not thinking at all. We have to keep paying the price right now. The reward is going to be worth it. So let us give and not count the cost. And let us just keep the faith as best we can during this time, and turn to our God more increasingly in prayer, so that he might strengthen us to persevere through this time, so that we can finally rejoice together again as a community. That's all for now. Got some stuff I got to get done around here today. Very busy day. We had a very long conference call with the bishop yesterday, and priest council has another call with him today. I'm not even quite sure what that's going to be about, but that'll probably consume my entire afternoon. So just what I really want to do on a Friday, quarantine or not, you really want to have to be on a conference call on a Friday afternoon? Yeah, didn't think so. So if you would, in your charity, say an extra prayer for me too. Make sure you wash your hands. God bless, and maybe I'll talk to you later. Peace.